welcome to Friday Filibuster, hopefully an abbreviated edition. I am in a sour mood. We have crazy kids tonight, and the Red Sox are getting waxed, so that's no fun either. So, and I need to get back to playing some Far Cry 3, which I got for $10, and I've been enjoying running around in the weeds, shooting pirates with my bow and arrow. So, Eric and Daryl, can you top that entertainment for me? Daryl, you first.
Top that entertainment?
Yes, can you top what? Can you top that bow and arrow simulation?
Probably not from here.
Okay. So why don't you give it a shot and tell me something interesting you've done? Or you know what? You can roll it all. You can roll into why don't we consolidate? A little report card and also anything you got coming for the site you want to give a shout out to.
All right. So I got two things. One I reviewed last week, one I reviewed this week. The one I reviewed last week is is a movie called Viva Riva. It is the first movie made in the first feature film made in the Congo in 25 years. Huh. And one might expect to find a
interesting. What was the one? What was the last one made?
I have no idea. About 25 years ago, the leader of the country shut down the industry.
Gotcha.
And after that, it was some documentaries and stuff like that. But so I don't know what the last one was. But when you find like in a country without a real industry, you might expect some like brooding take on national politics or you know some love story kind of thing. And I didn't know what to expect. And what I got was a high-end action movie.
Really?
That is seriously badass.
What's it called?
Viva Riva.
Oh, man.
It's about a guy named Riva who has just stolen a truckload of gasoline from some crooks in Angola, and he intends to come back to the Congo and sell it for huge profits. But one of the big criminal overlord in Kinshasa, the capital of the Congo, wants the gas, and the Angolan overlord wants it even worse. So it is basically just violence and sex and some great action scenes.
So then is this something I should track down? Is that what
totally.
You're saying? Oh wow.
Totally. You would really enjoy it. You would really enjoy it.
Viva Riva.
Really, totally an excellent, excellent movie.
I've been dying for some kind of a hidden gem action film. It's been so long. So.
It's not crazy action like The Raid Redemption, but it's a hell of a crime thriller.
All right.
The second one, which I just watched today, is a... Nicholas Winding Refn's follow-up with Ryan Gosling to Drive, Only God Forgives.
Yes.
And did either of you see that?
No.
No.
I personally love it. It has basically everything I want. Gorgeous cinematography, absolutely brutal violence, and if you take the violence in Drive and multiply it by about 10 or 20... you're starting to get close to how gruesome Only God Forgives is. A lot of people hated it, and I can absolutely see why. So I don't know if I can recommend it necessarily, but it's beautifully made and exceptionally violent. really shockingly violent. But I just found it to be a gorgeous movie, almost like a fever dream. Kind of thing. And it's got lots of fighting.
All right.
Lots of hand-to-hand stuff.
Lots of fighting, actually.
And sword play. So.
Yeah. Sounds like you had, it was action-y for you.
It was a very action-y week for me.
Nice. Okay, Eric, go ahead. Loop it all in together. What do you got?
All right. Well, following up on last week's review of The Exorcist, I tracked down The Exorcist 2 and 3, neither of which
nice.
I had seen.
Okay. Oh, I'm a
best.
That's talk about a divergent pair of sequels. Huh?
I'm going. Yeah, absolutely. Did not love Exorcist 2.
No,
I don't think you're in the minority either.
No, it's a movie that doubles down on the possession stuff from Exorcist 1,
yeah.
But Misses the point of a lot of what that movie gets right. Yes. The third one I liked a lot more, and I know you've talked about it on the show, Dave. And
I really like the third one.
Yeah.
It's definitely more in the, you know, I like mystery aspect to it, like police investigation aspect to it. It feels more like a novel, you know.
Well, it was directed, wasn't it written or directed by Blatty?
At least written, I guess, based on his novel.
Directed by him, too.
Okay. I didn't realize. I wasn't sure how involved he was. So, yeah, it definitely is in that same vein. I liked it.
Criminally underrated.
Yeah, and I was anticipating, you know, the big kind of freaky.
Yes, the pruning shears.
Yeah.
That was it's effective, is it not?
Super effective. Especially even when you're anticipating it, the shot lasts so long, you don't know when it's going to come. So
barely any gore in that movie too.
Yeah.
Yeah, really very reserved.
Effectively freaky, like it's just well timed, like crazy old lady on the ceiling. Eek, no thanks.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely describe the violence more than show it, which is pretty interesting.
Yes.
That was
all right. Good to hear. Yeah,
Exorcist 2. What's really effective about it is Linda Blair swinging a leather bit over her head, hypnotizing all the locusts.
Oh, I don't know. It's not quite as good as James Earl Jones in a locust Halloween costume.
Oh my God! And there is a great scene in that. One of my most horrible scenes is when the babysitter, whatever her name is, and Richard Burton are down in the basement, and the fire starts. And she goes in to call the fire department and ask what to do. And the phone is directly next to a fire extinguisher.
Well, that's good. I didn't even notice that.
Oh, there's so many terrible things about that movie. It's really one of the worst movies I think I've ever seen, and thereby one of my favorite things to watch.
Nice.
Yeah, and for review this week, I'm only halfway through it so far, but it is a Scream Factory 4 movie, two movies per disc set, their all-night horror marathon, a bunch of movies I've never seen. So far I've watched What's the Matter with Helen, which is a Debbie Reynolds, Shelley Winters joint that is mostly just sort of a drama / thriller, but it has some amount of shocking kills. And then I'm almost done with The Vagrant, which is an early or mid-80s Bill Paxton movie. He's like this guy who's being terrorized by this vagrant who may or may not be real and may or may not be killing people, so... It's pretty decent so far. It's one of those things. I think it would be good for an all-night horror marathon.
All right. Mac, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Either Mac or Grizzly Bear. I couldn't tell.
Sorry.
Okay, so we are in lightning mode round here because I want to ditch you guys and get back to Far Cry 3. So
nice.
Quick report and anything you got coming out and review all in one. Go.
Okay, well, I went out to the theater and I saw this very unusual film called Escape from Tomorrow. You might have heard of it. It's a horror movie about a dad who's on vacation with his wife and two kids, and all this freaky, scary stuff starts happening to him. And the gimmick is that the entire movie was filmed without permission on location at Disneyland. So the actors and the camera crew were running around Disneyland making a horror movie, and the people at Disney had no idea that they did it. They pulled it off. So it's a real oddity of a movie.
Does it work?
Almost. Okay. It works in parts. I don't know. It's very complicated. It's like if you want just a straightforward scary movie, as in something's chasing us, that's not what this is. It tries real hard to be psychological. It tries real hard to be all dreamlike. And as a such, not everything gets explained. Or it's like there are multiple explanations of what's going on that contradict one another. And so it kind of leaves you with a big question mark over what's really happening. So that was kind of frustrating. The main character, the dad, he's a real jerk. He just treats his wife horribly, and that made it kind of hard to follow him throughout the whole movie. But, you know, just the audacity of having the whole thing take place, you know, at Disneyland right there among all the tourists and the rides and everything, that certainly makes it a novelty. And so I guess I liked it more than I didn't like it, but it wasn't perhaps it wasn't what it could have been. I don't know. It's a mixed bag.
All right. Anything out for the site?
For For the site, something not horror related in October. It's the second season of The New Girl. I know.
The New Girl.
On the packaging, it's just New Girl.
I think on
the ads they call it The New Girl. Who knows? But I think Eric, were you the one who said you liked the show?
Yeah, I do. Actually, we've actually been rewatching season two. My wife has, and I've been in the room while she's watching it. And I have to say, I like it even more now than I did before. That certain characters really make me laugh. I know Daryl hates Zooey Deschanel with a fire that cannot be tamed, but I don't mind her at all. And I really watch it for the guys. I like them. They're cool characters.
Yeah, I dropped the thing. Okay, there we go. But yeah, I thought that the first season was merely okay, but with the second season they've really stepped up their game, and the show it's gotten a lot more fast paced. It's like just a joke a minute type of pacing, and it's a lot more cartoony and outrageous. They do lots of cutaways to random crazy stuff like you see on animated shows, and it's really improved a lot. And I surprised myself at just how much I was laughing while watching the show.
Very good. All right. Well, from New Girl, I'll go to a movie we talked about in the summer. Got that on Blu-ray to review, Pacific Rim. Remains stunning eye candy, but still disappointing everything else. So as far as a Blu-ray goes, just absolutely gorgeous to look at and a ton of bonus features. I can't recall the last Blu-ray disc that was so loaded with extras.
Did you get the four-disc set with the toy Jaeger?
No, that one. The studio didn't spring to send that one to us, unfortunately. But it was a two-disc one with it's three-disc, including the DVD, but there's a whole disc of bonus features, including Guillermo del Toro's director's notebook, which is just packed with kind of his imagination. So, nice. And again, it just kind of reinforces this fact that he spent all this time building this great world and these machine, just built this mythology, but just didn't fill it with any interesting characters or, a new unique plot line. So it made it more frustrating to see all this great stuff he did. So kind of a bittersweet thing. But it is, it's a reference quality AV experience. And, I ended my review by saying, I can't wait to show my son this movie because, obviously, that is built for kids, dads and sons or something. So I think that still exists, but it really was kind of like Top Gun with Max. I don't know. Just didn't. So unfortunate because I know we've been looking forward to it, and I think we kind of came away right, Mac, just like a little lukewarm on it. So
yeah,
unfortunate, but top tier release for sure. Okay, we're making some good time, so let's keep cruising. Real quick, Mac, let's take a look at the upcoming stuff.
Sure, we're gonna go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And then we're going to scroll down and find the link for the cover art gallery for October 22nd. And just talk about whatever we see on the list here. David's your old friend, The Young Writers.
Yes. Season 2. There's only been a 6-year gap between season 1 and season 2. So my wife will be excited. She's a big fan.
A lot of music rights to clear, I assume.
I guess.
That's right. It's a movie I liked a lot. Saw the summer The Conjuring comes out.
That's right.
Yeah, really time to watch it before Halloween hits.
So. I really need to see that.
So you haven't seen it, Daryl, right?
I have not seen it.
No, but you have seen Insidious.
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad I watched Conjuring first because there are a lot of similarities between those movies.
Gotcha.
I like them both, but I'll be interested to see what you think.
Yeah, I will see it soon. Leviathan, but not the awesome undersea adventure Leviathan.
Yeah, the Deep Star 6 doppelganger, right?
Yeah. Although that was my favorite of between The Abyss, Leviathan, and Deep Star 6. Leviathan was my favorite.
Just like,
whatever happened to undersea horror? That was like that,
I know.
That one year.
One year, they blew their load in one year.
The Silk Stockings collection. If you ever watched USA Up All Night, that's the show that came on before it.
So this is the opposite of those volume ones and volume twos of series. They just lopped in three seasons.
6, 7, 8.
Okay. please buy season 6 and we'll throw 7 and 8 in there for free.
also, the Denver Broncos' greatest moments, which for me is very important.
Good.
So.
Also for horror fans, the Vincent Price collection on Blu-ray comes out this week. Nice. One of the premier Scream Factory releases.
All right. Well, little challenge here for us, I think. So not a whole bunch out here, but let's give it a shot anyway. Anniversary release of the week, Daryl.
It's already been mentioned, but I'm still going with it with the Young Riders.
It's good. It's probably the correct one. Eric?
The Way, Way Back.
It's good, too. Mac?
Kokoro Connect.
I'm not sure what that is.
I don't know what you're
filthy.
Into, Mac.
And,
say that podcast?
And I don't know. Just because I want to say it out loud, I don't think it's dirty necessarily, but a ponytail.
Oh,
okay, I think that works.
And I just want to say it out loud. Okay, great. Plowing through. Ambush topics. Mac, go.
Okay, first topic is crazy scientific explanations.
I wish I could remember. I'm more thinking of crazy scientists right now.
All right, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in while you're thinking. Broken Arrow. They set off a nuke in a copper mine, and our heroes run out, like, escape the mine, swim up, and the park ranger love interest starts panicking. And then Christian Slater goes through a detailed science explanation how the nuke, because it's a copper mine, turned it all into one big copper pot and contained all the radiation. And that's why. And then he looks, look, you see those butterflies? If we were a nuke, there wouldn't be any butterflies. And that's because of common herbs. That's a great one.
All I have stuck in my head for some reason, I don't know how it fits, is the scientist guy from Howard the Duck. I don't know why.
He just reel off a lot of gobbledygook at some point.
Probably. I mean, you know, the laser that connects the worlds and all that kind of stuff. It's
right.
I mean, the movie's insane, so I assume that anything he mentions in any scientific capacity would be suspect. So.
For sure.
All right. I'm going to go with the in Doctor Who, in the new series of Doctor Who, which really you could say, as far as explanations go, the whole damn show. I'm going to go in particular with and it's a favorite episode of mine in Blink, where the Doctor back in 1969 is explaining to Carey Mulligan through DVD extras how time works and how people are sent back in time for time energy.
For mine, I went all the way back to the world of comic books, and there's a lot of excitement gearing up for Edgar Wright's Ant-Man movie he's making with Marvel. And the question it always comes up is, how does Dr. Pym shrink down to the size of an ant without, you know, what happens to his mass? You know, if he shrinks down to that size and he still has all that mass, he's going to be so heavy you won't be able to move. And so what about, how does he shrink? What is his mass? And the official explanation is that as he shrinks down to the size of an ant, his excess mass is shunted into a non-Einsteinian parallel universe where it's temporarily stored. And then when he turns back into human size, his excess mass is returned to him from the parallel universe.
Yeah, that sounds like something straight out of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense to me. I don't know why that picked the topic at all.
Oh, it's the fact that they have to emphasize that it's a non-Einsteinian.
Odd for that.
That's funny. All right. Is that everybody? Are we done? Are we done with that round? Okay. Eric, go ahead.
All right. Well, this is inspired by my first ever jury summons. I'm going on Friday to be part of a grand jury.
Ooh, fine.
Ooh. Wow.
Which is a real thing, not just in movies.
That's right. Yeah.
Apparently, I'm going to be technically on a grand jury until the end of the year. If they need me, they will call me in. It's pretty crazy. But so my topic is courtrooms, which I guess I will not technically be part of because I'm in a grand jury. It doesn't take place in a courtroom, but it seemed easier. So courtrooms.
All right. I'm going to go with the final big scene in My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
With Marissa Tomei explaining about the tires and winning the day for Ralph Macchio.
It's good. It really is. Crazy, crazy coincidence, that whole premise, you know, that two young men in a similar car robbed it, you know, in that tiny rural area. I mean, it should have been a slam, open and shut case.
Really?
So you're saying you think it really was Ralph Macchio killing
those
guys?
Yes, I do. I have a hard time believing it.
this.
It seems like a primal fear thing where he was faking it the whole time.
Or like, yeah, Marissa Tomei is actually full of crap. She lied away through it all. So deleted scene in the director's cut. The prosecutor like looks it up in Emmons online car guide and just don't.
Yeah, lesson learned. Don't trust anybody from New York.
Yes. Courtrooms, okay. How about Ghostbusters 2? When they
good one.
That's right. They're on trial for whatever. Actually, it's a pretty funny scene, I thought, with Rick Moranis trying to trying to do the trial, and he's being egged on by Venkman. I thought that was fairly funny, but obviously the ghosts come back and the slime erupts and they torch everything. Yeah, good times.
And why did the slime turn pink in that movie?
I don't know. Because they don't get sued by Nickelodeon, I'm guessing.
Could be. They're trying to launch the strawberry Ecto Cooler brand.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, let's see. It's on me. I know Futurama has had a bunch of courtroom scenes because they always bring out the hyper chicken character, which is the mutated chicken lawyer that speaks with a thick southern drawl. I'm trying to remember a specific one, though. And, of course, his rival is Judge Whitey, who is the incredibly wealthy, affluent judge who always wants to end the trial soon so he can get back to the golf course. So I guess mine isn't really a scene, but just specific characters to all of our favorite Futurama courtroom.
All right.
Is that everybody?
I think so.
All right, I'll go with The End of a Few Good Men.
The classic.
Tom Cruise taking Jack Nicholson.
It's a classic one.
Down.
Down.
All right.
And there's also...
You can't handle me not lying. That's the big line, right? That's a good one.
There's also always the frankly getting called to the stand in front of Judge Reinhold. In
yes, that was absolutely...
That's a good one. On my list, too. Excellent one. Okay, anything with George, I guess. George Bluth, too, waiting trial. It's all good.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
Laundromats.
I'm guessing this is inspired by something very, very specific.
Well, I've got I can think of two or three off the top of my head.
Of course you can.
There's that it's not that great of a movie, but it's okay. It's the movie Pulse. Where people are getting haunted by scary internet ghosts. Because it was the early 2000s and the internet was this thing to be afraid of.
Scary, scary new thing.
Yeah. And, but no, there's the girls at the laundromat and the door opens and all these like dead body parts just kind of stick out or jut out from the open door of the washing machine. And it's like a big jump scare. Except it didn't scare anyone because that was the thing that they used on all the ads.
Right.
Well, since you brought up Arrested Development, we already broke the ice. Just a simple scene of Job withdrawing Franklin from the dryer.
Job, you've ruined the bit. That is actually one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite singular lines from that show, is him ventriloquizing Franklin having turned into a white guy and a British white guy at that.
All right, this is in the spirit of the topic, if not the specifics. I recently watched Halloween for review, and when Laurie Strode looks out the window, she sees Michael Myers standing behind a line of laundry. Mm. Hanging out to dry.
Nice.
Hanging out to dry.
Before laundromat. This is middle America.
Yeah.
In theory. I mean, there's no – all the trees are bright green in October, but still, it's middle America, you know, no laundromats in Haddonfield.
Yeah, it's Ohio or whatever, but you could still hang out laundry in October.
Illinois, California, whatever.
It's all the same.
It's somewhere in America.
Well, see, they revisited the laundry thing in part 6 when the person was hanging the laundry and then the wind blew and Michael was standing on the other side. So I guess the Halloween movies are one complete saga with perfect continuity.
Is it not 6 that they bring in all of the satanic destiny business?
Yeah, the druids and the prophecy and the genetic engineering and yeah.
Yeah, no, it's exactly. It's a complete saga for sure. Yeah,
speaking of movies that are as good as the original, right? It's a regular Exorcist 2.
All right, let's hear your specific laundromat that you were thinking.
Is it me now? Okay. Yep. Oh, yeah, it would be. I'm going with an old favorite scene in the Toxic Avenger when Toxie comes into the laundromat and a crabby old woman is crabby, and so he throws her into the dryer and tumbles her to death.
Good.
There's also the basically a third of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Takes place in the laundromat.
Okay. I'm here you go. Layup time. Something made of wood. So in the honor of the state, wooden. That's your
okay.
Wooden.
Ships are made of wood, so yes.
And I'm going with anything Ron Swanson makes with his hands.
Well done. Well done. And actually, I do have a quick shout-out since you brought that up, Daryl. We've been hypercritical. I have thought the last couple of Parks and Rec episodes were quite good.
Yeah.
Quick digression. I thought they were
they've been funny. Pretty funny. Still too many guest stars, but for my taste, but that's, I guess, just the way they're going to go from here on out.
And they ruined John Ralphio with his stupid sister.
Yeah, they kind of ruined John Ralphio, but having Henry Winkler as John Ralphio's dad is pretty funny.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's a quick – speaking of Ron Swanson and woodworking. So.
Yeah, and you can never argue with Sam Elliott as Ron.
Yes.
That was funny. That works.
All right. Continue on. Wooden. Continue.
All right. Well, we got Buffy the Vampire Slayer killing vampires with wooden stakes, of course.
There you go. Good.
And when they in the second season, when they introduced Kendra the Vampire Slayer, she had her favorite stake that she always used, which was Mr. Pointy. Nice. And Mr. Pointy actually had a metal hook on the end, and Kendra would hold the stake by the metal hook, and that way she could like stab a whole bunch of vampires at once and still keep the stake.
All right, I'm going to go back to the state to see if my memory is correct.
Yeah.
Didn't Tom Lennon's old-fashioned guy, wasn't he whittling?
Yeah, yeah, I was whittling, old-fashioned guy.
That's right.
Yeah, good. Shout out to old-fashioned guy. Okay, mine is, I think we probably talked about this before, but the epic eye wound in Zombie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a really jagged eye wound.
Piece of wood from a door jam. So,
And speaking of eye wounds, going back to what I was talking about before with Only God Forgives, there is... there is a seriously awful eye scene in that movie. Oh, so
well,
anybody who has eyes,
I will never watch it. So thank you. I will never watch it. Okay, good. We made some turning the quality podcast. So we made some good anyway here. So
I believe we made you a little less crabby.
A little less crabby. I think so. A little less crabby. So yeah, thank you everybody. Friday, filibuster, DVDverdict.com. is the email. You can check out dailyverdict.com too, our little news beta project. Take that for a spin as well. With that being said, Mac, I have nothing else to add.
You can't handle me not telling the truth.